So a very good morning. I'm Frans Muller, the CEO of the Royal Ahold Delhaize. Good morning to all of you. It's great to have you here in New York City, and a special warm welcome to all investors and the analysts and all the media folks who made it to our room here, and I'm very happy that we are with such a big crowd. The rain is a little bit difficult, so we might get a few people popping in later, but we deal with that. And I also would like to welcome our U.S. management and my colleagues of the management board. So I just would like to introduce you to Jeff Carr, our CFO. And then Kevin Holt, responsible for the U.S. Wouter Kolk for Europe. And I would like to introduce you to our brand presidents running the great local brands of Ahold Delhaize USA. And we start with Mark McGowan. You will see him later in action. That's Mark. Meg Ham for Food Lion. Hi, Meg. Morning. Then we have, I just have to screen a little bit the room. Yeah. Where's Gordon? Gordon for Giant Food. Nick Bertram for Giant Martins. Then we have J.J. Fleeman for Peapod Digital Labs. Mike Vale for Hannaford. Good morning. And an important part of our business is also supported by Retail Business Services, so Roger Wheeler. Hi, Roger. And the one who's taking care of the financials, Greg Amoroso, CFO for the U.S. Greg, good morning. So those are the people who do a very good job for us in the U.S., and you will see many of them later into action, but I just said being here in the U.S. is a nice way of introducing them to you. A very good morning. The last 2 years have been, of course, very interesting years for our company, bringing Ahold and Delhaize together in that merger, of which, in the meantime, although it's almost history, it has been the biggest cross-border merger in food retail. And I must say, not impressed by that fact, our people did a great job. A very strong integration in the last 2 years, and you will see later on that everything what we committed to, we really delivered. And I'm very proud about being a part of the team. I'm very proud about our team and our teams, 370,000 people, bringing this merger to life. Having said that, it gives also the opportunity, and I've been responsible for integration, as you know, in the last couple of years, to get to know our company even better and to get to know our people and our brands and our supporting functions, our group support office in Zaandam, but also the brands in Europe and the brands in the U.S. And this is a nice moment today because we worked very hard for the next phase. We had 2 years of integration, and we will take now the company to the next phase of growth and market share gain. And not only in the bricks and mortar business, but also in a total omnichannel, this customer journey in an omnichannel world, which is connecting stores, a very strong store fundament, with our online business. And we talk about this today, and therefore it's a special moment for us, for all managers and all people in our company, to present to you our strategy. First, I would like to go through the agenda, what we're going to share with you. I will share a few things more about leading together, why we have a strong fundament after 2 years of merger and integration, and what is the future bringing for us. Then Wouter will take you through the European business, but very much focusing on e-commerce and digital, what's happening there on innovation, but also how much more can we even benefit in the group with this type of technology and innovation elements. Then we have a brief break, and then everybody who is fighting with the rain will be all with us then around that break. And then Kevin will start to share with all of you how we plan to win in our U.S. markets. J.J. Fleeman will talk more about Peapod Digital Labs, that new platform of omnichannel, digital, and e-commerce based on a Peapod foundation. And he will share with you more how are we going to grow in that space. And Mark McGowan will share with you what is Stop & Shop bringing us, what is the next phase of Stop & Shop, and how are we going to reposition that company, which is for us the biggest brand we have in a total company. Jeff Carr will finalize with a financial framework to make sure that you all know what we are going to commit to from the financials, the guidelines, and the guardrails. And then we have a Q&A session at the end at 11:20, and we would like to finish at 12 o'clock sharp. This is our program for today. I realize, and you will realize at the end at 12 o'clock, that you will have seen and heard a lot of contents. The technology space is not so easy. E-commerce and omnichannel is rather quite complex how to understand this. But we intentionally would like to share with you a lot of contents because we feel that we have a lot to share. We like to be very transparent to you, being our investors and our analysts and our media colleagues. So don't feel pressed by all that contents. There's a lot of things that you can read in the decks. And we, of course, also available for questions later on. So intentionally, a lot of context and contents, because we are very proud about the US business. And we are now here in New York and grabbing that opportunity to share with you more about our US business and how are we going to win. It's more than 60% of our overall business, as we all know. So this is the program for today. Then, for those who do not know us very well or do not know us completely from a US or from a European perspective, a few things who we are. We are a company which is 150 years in business when we start with the Delhaize brand 150 years ago or 130 years in business when we start with the Albert Heijn brands. A lot of heritage, very specialized in the supermarket channel, which is mainly a food-driven channel. And you also see that the attributes you see here on the paper on this deck are more or less valid for all our brands. Strong in fresh, strong in private label, dependable value, very high level of local, personal, and convenient, but also fresher and healthier. High fresh shares, and in all our brands, it's for us a very important responsibility to give more healthier choice to our customers. We would like to make sure that customers have a healthier life, and not our customers themselves, but also their families, also their communities, and also the children they try to nourish every day. A leading e-commerce business. We have a 5 billion target out for 2020, and we're going to exceed that target. With that target in food retail, we have a very high share. We are the leader on the East Coast in the US with our Peapod business. And e-commerce, food e-commerce, is in our DNA, both in Europe and in the US. A strong store network, come back to that later. Great local brands. And for those people who thought at the merger date, why don't you all paint all stores blue or all stores red? This is exactly what we didn't do. Because we believe in those great local brands. Close to the communities, close to our people, close to local vendors and farmers. And we believe that if you have that connection with the community, that emotional connection, if you have the trust in your own brand, that is the strength in food retail. And that's why we're very proud about our great local brands. 370,000 associates working with us in both Europe and in the US. And we are the top 10 international retailer. Another nice fact here on the chart, and you can read all these kind of facts later on when you see those decks on your email. You see here 50 million visits per week in our stores and 20 million visitors per week on our online business. So in total, we see 70 million visitors in a week in our total company. High level of traffic, scale we need, scale we can build, and also a strong fundament to grow our business further. Yeah, and then that merger. You can consider it, this is almost history. We said substantially completed. But for us, we are now focusing on the next phase. A strong performance during the merger integration, consistent delivery on the merger synergies, bringing people together, which is maybe the most important thing, blending the cultures, learning from each other, getting the best of both worlds when we have two management teams coming together on various levels. But also, we built a platform for growth. And structure in the organization, which is making us fit to win, fit to grow, fit to gain market share, and not only bricks and mortars, but also omnichannel with e-commerce included. So we feel we are very well positioned to win, and we'll say a few things more why we feel that is the case. And on the right-hand side, our leading together strategy. Omnichannel growth, bricks and mortar plus online, e-commerce and meal solutions, And we also see later on that we will have to grow organically and inorganically when we have that opportunity which fits our specs. Technology, we're going to invest in technology, and you will see later on a few things also with AI and robotics, because we feel that is also the future where we have to further embark on, and we do already a lot with our data. Healthy and sustainable has been in our DNA for a long, long, long time. Healthy to give healthier solutions for our customers, but also sustainable in the way we source, in the way we work, in the way we deal with our people, but also sustainable on a very high level as a company overall. It's not for nothing that we already years and years a leading retailer in the Dow Jones Sustainability Index, but we even have more ambition, you will see. And best talent, oh, sorry, and portfolio and scale, we talk about how do we want to grow? What are our definitions of growing healthy? What do we think about leadership positions? And in which areas do we want to grow our business, and where do we want to invest? And best talent, not to forget. 370,000 people, that is the asset of our business. Our people every day in those stores, servicing customers, dealing with the communities, good teams in stores, and all completely strengthened by people in head offices, by support offices, by logistics, by IT. If that is not coming together in a company, you cannot grow, you cannot be successful, you cannot be successful as we are. So we are very proud about our people, and we are very proud and very engaged every day to attract and retain the right talent for our future and for our present business. A quick view for those of you, and most of you have seen those views because you comment on this in your analyst reports as well. We delivered very well on our synergy numbers. Sales growth, 2%. Over the last 3 years, net synergy delivery well on track to bring the 420 and the 500 of net for next year. An underlying operating margin, which is growing from 3.7 to 4.0, we reported on this last week, and a free cash flow of more than 2 billion for 2018 estimate. Great numbers, strong numbers. Also, reliability is a thing which fits to Ahold before, which fits to Delhaize before. And we would like to keep that reliability as Ahold Delhaize, not only in the last 2 years, but also going forward. So a reliable player, you can rely on our numbers. And you also see, and we have been very transparent in our quarterly reports, how we are working with the synergies, how we deliver on the merger. Yeah, and then a winning customer proposition. We feel that we are also very well positioned to win in those markets. What are our strengths in the markets where we operate? We have always had a very high fresh share. In most of the markets, 40% of our sales is fresh. And we deal with health as a topic to make healthier choices. I mentioned this before. The best own brands. In the US, we have a share of own brands of 27% of our sales, which is a relatively high share in the market in the US. But in the Benelux, in Holland and in Belgium, we have more than 50% of own brands. Own brands, not just to have that number, but own brands is for us a way to differentiate ourselves, to have a different offer. We are the producer here. We decide on the specs. And if you talk about free from, organic, all natural, we can be the leader in those trends. We can bring innovation in reformulating those products. Sustainable, I said a few things. The way we buy, the way we work, but also sustainability as a company as a whole. Because there are a number of things where we have to work in the industry to make a few things come through. If it's plastics, if it's environment, if it's climate control, these type of things are also for us very important. We would like to take that responsibility as a good retailer. Dependable value, market by market, different, in the whole assortment different. There are people with lower budgets and with higher budgets, and we would like to serve them in our stores, all of them at the same time. Everybody should be able to make his or her choice. And local, personal, and convenient. Local, because we would like to be with all our stores local. We are proud with 6,700 stores. But everybody of you, you shop in your own store around the corner, your own store, your own supermarket just around the corner, and that store is for you important. So we have to make sure that we bring that local performance in all those stores, that we have your local assortments, and if we're in a Hispanic neighborhood, that we have also the right ethnic Hispanic assortments, and that the people you deal with are the people you also know, if it's language, if it's culture. I think that makes a local store great. Closely knitted, closely connected to the communities we serve. Personal and convenient, make those offers personal, and with the present technology, we'll hear a lot more today. Those offers are to your liking, what your shopping behavior is, but also that we give you some ideas, what you have not seen before, based on your profile, gives you some suggestions on health or things like predict my list. We'll hear more today. And guess what? These kind of things, which are for us strength, which are for us the things where we at the moment are very happy with and which are convincing customers to gain market share, a lot of these kind of items are the trends in the industry. Easy, convenient, sustainable, fresh, transparent, digitized, customer journeys, all these kind of trends you read on a regular basis from your advisors, you see them here. And it's no coincidence, I think, that we gain market share because I think we listen very careful to our customers. We are very rich on data. We listen very careful, and we can also transfer this in the shopping experience, in the customer journey we offer every day to those 70 million customers, every week to those 70 million customers. Yeah, and then the leadership positions. It's not for nothing that we are proud about leading together because we have now already leading positions in the markets where we operate. 70% of our sales, we have, for 70% of our sales, we have number one positions in the markets where we compete. And you see here the brands. For 30% of our sales, we are the number two in those markets. And that's all calculated according to those CTA type of definitions of Nielsen. So there's a public definition. It's not our definition. So we have strong leadership position. And if you look at the U.S., in 27 DMAs where we are the leader, that is covering where we're number one or two, it's covering 95% of the sales. So in 95% of the sales in the U.S., we get that sales in number one or two market positions. And of course, our teams are very eager to make that even 100%, that we're everywhere number one or two. And you will see this later on. This is also for us important. And that is also a public number you can check. It's not our customized number. Strong leadership positions, which is important because in retail, relative market share matters. In retail, scale, but also scale and relative market share linked with brand strength. That is very important. And only relative market share of only brand strength is not a sustainable proposition. We have brand strength, and we have relative market share. We are very strong players in the markets where we are. You see later on with Kevin and with Mark McGowan and with Wouter, a lot of those examples. Yeah, and to give you an example on gaining market share, then the U.S. market is, of course, a very dynamic and very competitive market. But also last year, we gained market share in the U.S. We gained 20 basis points market share in the U.S. for our total set of brands in the U.S. And you see here the differences from left to right. And also in markets which are, as a lot of people think, yeah, you get a lot of new entries and discounters and these kind of things. Look at Giant Martin's and look at Food Lion. Look at those markets where we have a lot of discount in those markets, including a big box discounter as well. Also in those markets, we gain market share very clearly. Stop & Shop, I think we're going to address. And last quarter, we already mentioned to you that we have now remodeled the first 20 stores in Connecticut and that we make the next waves to make Stop & Shop also again a company which is gaining market share. And you hear a lot of things from Mark later on. Yeah, and then the formats. We can talk about a lot of formats, but we think that supermarket and smaller formats are the winning formats. Close to customers, close to communities, high level of proximity and convenience. And we are the strong and the proud owner of 6,700 stores worldwide. And on the right-hand side, you see a little bit the distribution. Even in the European markets, we have more smaller stores, more convenience stores. And I think also there's a lot of learning, a lot of learning how you run a supermarket. You see that on the size that the supermarkets in the U.S. are much bigger than the supermarkets in Europe. But the smaller formats, I think, is a powerful opportunity also for the U.S. markets. There's a lot of learning between the teams, and we exchange people also to see how can we run those smaller markets, how can we run supermarkets in a better way. A strong thing, and then we would like to see that we ring-fence or enlarge the proposition with an online proposition with the store formats in our hand. We feel that with a strong base of stores close to our customers, enlarged with an online proposition, that that is the winning proposition in the markets where we compete. Strong brands, close to the customers, with an online proposition, and that's why we feel that we are very well positioned for this. And platform for future growth. The merger did not only bring synergies and culture and bringing people together and having smooth underlying business in the last 2 years, because you can also imagine, well, a lot of distraction in your business with the merger, and but we're not distracted. We delivered excellent 2 years of profit according to our expectations and according to our promises. But another product what we have out of the merger is we have a better structure. We have a better structure if you look at the structure of our business. We have now one U.S. business, which is all serviced by retail business services. You have seen Roger, and also for e-commerce and digital service by Peapod Digital Labs. A strong structure, a basis from where we can grow, and if you look at the European side, since the first of October, we have also there one structure led by Wouter. And there you see also the European brands supported by a business services unit as well. Both regions are supported by a global support office, which is, of course, needed for governance, if it's got to talk about finance and legal and tax, but also with a clear view on people and also with a clear view on innovation, best practice, sharing, and also on technology, IT, and digital. This is the way we have, and this is the structure we feel is a structure where we can grow with and where we have an efficient structure, where we enjoy the entrepreneurship and the mandates of the great local brands, where we share the skill elements, for example, in the U.S., and Kevin will share more with you about these kinds of things. So we share skill, but we have the mandate with the brands to really powerful go ahead with their own pricing, their own marketing, and so on. Yes, and then Leading Together, the name of our new strategy, the next phase of our company. How are we going to grow the company? How are we going to gain market share? How we do this in an omnichannel way? How do we do this in a very sustainable way? All these elements, we're going to talk about it today. What does that mean for us, Leading Together? Leading is a thing where we would like to strengthen the leadership positions in the markets which we already have, gain further market share. Leading also means that we are entrusted, that we have entrusted leaders in our business who are going to take that mile, who are leading those teams to gain market share, to have a better proposition for our customers, to make it easier, to make it fresher, to make it healthier, come with innovation, try to experiment, and that is also leadership. And together, there are many things together. It's together with our partners in our business. It's together with our store teams and our centers of the brands. But it's also together with a number of things where we, as a mid-sized big retailer, cannot manage this on our own. It's not wise, it's not smart to attack the whole topic of plastics on our own. We need more people in the industry, retailers, vendors, and NGOs. There are a number of things which are just too big for a company alone, where we have to pre-competitive look for the together as well. Important things also for us to take that responsibility, to take that obligation of improving the total landscape. Let's just listen now to Lily, and then you understand a little bit what we mean by a customer journey, omnichannel customer journey, and how busy she is, and how she has to make all these kinds of things that all those ends meet. If the operator can start the video, then we see the day of Lily.
This is Lily.
Oh, hi.
Lily is one of the millions of customers that we interact with throughout the day, physically and digitally. For example, Lily can check her mobile for the latest relevant offers based on personal taste, dietary needs, and lifestyle. What's it going to be, Lily?
Salmon and vegetables. Fresh and healthy.
Salmon sounds delicious. We also use cutting-edge technology in our stores, we give customers more convenient, faster checkout options so that they can avoid the hassle of waiting in line and save precious time.
I made it.
Well done. It looks like you ran out of cheese, Lily.
Yep, and it looks like we could use some extra milk. Check.
Yep, easy order and easy delivery. We have the best fresh products that are sustainably sourced. We also help customers with fresh and healthy ready-made meals, like this delicious bowl with avocado, carrots, and,
this one? Wakame.
Wakado. That's what I thought. Thanks to our network of stores, warehouses, and distribution channels, we offer our customers choice in-store, through home delivery, or at pickup points. But that's not all. We also help customers live healthier lives through dietary advice and personalized consults. Bon appetit, guys.
Thanks. And he did the cooking.
And then it's time to relax. Did that salmon work for you, Lily?
It was great. I think I might like to try it with the spinach next time, though.
Works for me.
That'll be the milk and cheese.
I hope this was a nice illustration how a customer journey for Lily looks like, and hope you also recognize a few of those elements where she is looking for, what we at the same time also can offer. The easy, the fresh, the digital, the customer journey, no time, and how can we make it easier for her to be our customers? How can we make her life easier while she's also taking care of her family? So that is Lily, and that's Leading Together. Talking about what are the elements we would like to accelerate? What are the elements where we think we have to make the difference? I already talked about comparable sales growth. We are going to grow this company. We're going to drive comparable sales growth. And I think with the third quarter in the back, I think we have a lot of credibility that we can do so. Market share gains. We would like to gain market shares in the markets where we operate, and we would like to see a stable group margin in 2019 versus 2018. A free cash flow of around 2 billion a year for the coming 3 years, and a high single-digit EPS growth in 2019. Those are the guardrails, but Jeff will come in much more detail back to those numbers. Yeah, and then we more or less highlighted and we identified 5 accelerators to bring that growth. Omnichannel growth, I think is pretty clear. Using our strong foundation of the store network and our strong heritage in food online to drive that growth as well in all the markets where we are. Technology is going to help us not only to make a better customer experience in store, on the way to the store, after the store, in cooking, in recipes, and these type of things. But technology is also going to help us to drive our costs down and to have more efficiency. You will see later a number of those examples. If it's data, if it's mechanization, technology will help us a lot. And healthy and sustainable, I don't want to repeat myself, but we are permanently busy in making our products healthier. Reformulation, different pack size, shorter lifetime, fresher products, but also in a sustainable way. And we work with our vendors on where is the produce coming from, how can we blockchain the total process of eggs, for example, that we are back to the farmer. More and more customers would like to know this. More and more customers would like to know, where do you source your products? Is this done with a social compliance? Am I not buying shrimps from X country in Asia where there has been child labor involved? All these kind of questions coming to the table with a high level and high demand for transparency, sustainable sourcing, and exactly that is where we have a lot of DNA, where we have a lot of credibility, which is also, by the way, all those sustainability targets are a part of our variable pay as well. We connect this also to our variable pay. We would like to be a very responsible retailer. And portfolio and scale efficiencies, how are we going to grow? Where do we find opportunities in geographies, in market, to grow our business and to deepen our footprint? And as I said before, 370,000 talents in our company making this company tick. So how are we going to retain and attract talent, not only for the present world, but also for technology and for digital and the world we might not completely understand yet? How are we going to do this? And we share a few things on that topic as well. Let's go to the first accelerator. With easy, fresh, and affordable, You can count on Food Lion every day, and have to be very complete here, otherwise I get a big fight with Mac. That is the strategy, the successful strategy of Food Lion. 24 quarters of consecutive comparable sales growth. That is phenomenal. And who had thought this 4 years ago that this was possible? Great team, a lot of energy, and I think we all are very proud about this. But we're also proud about the last brand in Belgium finding the way back to growth and to a good commercial proposition after they had their tough transformation period. And with an innovation store like Hoofddorp, very Dutch word, Hoofddorp, one of the stores in our Dutch network, we have a superstore completely new with the newest features in Albert Heijn in Holland, where we combine the real fresh proposition, a lot of meal solutions, with a digital shopping journey in the store. And Wouter will share with you more things about innovation in the Dutch market. Great things we can also export to other markets in Europe and into the US. And we feel that all these kind of things where we have proven that we can improve stores, that we can improve experiences, that we can bring more to customers in a digital world, are exactly the things we're going to do with Stop & Shop, our biggest brand. And Mark will share more with you how he's going to do this and what are his five priorities to make sure that the shopper experience is getting even better with Stop & Shop, and that we also there are going to gain market share in the future. Yeah, and I talked about improving the omnichannel experience, improving this omnichannel journey, this customer journey. And you see here a number of elements which we all will pay in to that successful journey. How are we going to excite customers with meal solutions, completely convenience, fresh salads, components, meals to cook, meals to eat, but also personalized offers, what is fitting to your needs, or fitting to the needs of your children, or if we know you better based on our data, how can we bring you some nice ideas to be even a better parent for your children, or helping you with health guidance, how you can make healthier choices. And we do these kind of things only with independent advisors, nutritionists. It's not our marketing campaign. It's just helping customers making healthier choices, less sodium, less fat, less sugar, as an example. And then the platform and partnerships. We feel that a lot of our business is moving more into partnerships and platforms as well, because it can get together a proposition for a customer which is broader than a supermarket in itself. And we see a great example of bol.com with the Plaza, the marketplace player, and these kind of things we're going to connect. This is a world we're going to connect with same day, instant, and next day delivery, with a digital shopping journey, and also with new things which are extending our supermarket offer and growing our supermarket offer with meal solutions. Meal solutions, just a few more details for those people who know this market quite well. In the US, meal solutions is a $40 billion business. And we have great brands where we operate. We have very high participation on the fresh business, but we feel that we can grow even more. If you make those things more convenient, if we have specs and reformulation of meals where we can get more into the meal space to differentiate ourselves from other supermarket players. In meal kits, Allehande in Holland is already quite successful with their own recipes, with their own homemade proprietary recipes for Albert Heijn, in food counters in stores, in kitchens in stores, eating moments into stores, and we see a lot of this coming also in our total network, but also meals on demand and a collaboration with a few well-known brands, restaurant brands in the Chicago market. We focus on what is the share of stomach of a customer and how can we get a bigger share. And that is not only in our standard traditional supermarket space, but also in new areas with in-store eating, with meal solutions, as I mentioned before. A big opportunity for us, and you will see a number of proof points coming out of the strategy in the coming quarters and coming years to show you how we can win also in this market and how we can get even a bigger share of stomach. And then online sales. We have already a 5 billion online sales promised to the market. That was a target for 2020, and we're going to exceed that target. And that's why at the moment with the present sales in our mind, we're going to double our commitment to 7 billion in 2021. Those are all euros, and that is all e-commerce business. And you will see later on from Wouter, but also from JJ, that we talk about this integrated solution, this customer journey. How can you connect the dots? Because it's not just a supermarket visit. It's an omni-channel visit, and it's not just a visit, but also the preparation, the idea generation, or after the shop, how are you going to work with your products? What is inspiration to cook a meal which is very different than it used to be before? And you can surprise your family, and you can have new inspirations about new international cuisine. An omni-channel for all our brands. We will make sure that all our brands have an omni-channel proposition. We have a few brands which are further in the maturity cycle and a few brands where we just can share that learning and make a step up in a number of brands who are not that advanced yet. And let me take just a moment of pride for this unique brand, bol.com. A brand, and Wouter will go deeper into this, of which we are very proud, which not all of you, I think, well understood so far. It's a non-food platform. It's an online trader. But you will see later on that we are making bol.com a part of our total customer journey in the Dutch market. And look at a few of those numbers. Those are sensational numbers in growth, but also 6,500 click and collect points in the Dutch and the Belgian market. So you use a lot of partners around you to make sure that you make it for customers easy to bring their returns or to pick up their goods in a non-food environment or in a non-food environment, we'll hear later. Growing 30% in this year, 2 billion net consumer sales in this year, and EBITDA positive. So great numbers for a Plaza online player. You hear more from Wouter later on. And then the second driver for us, we just came from omni-channel, is technology. Technology is going to help to understand customers better and therefore make also better propositions for that customer journey. There's an in-store journey, there's an online journey, there is a total integrated solution. 3 billion of offers, 3 billion of personalized offers we send out on an annual basis. 3 billion of personalized offers, unique offers to you based on your preferences, based on your buying behavior, based on your profile, what also could fit for you as a great idea. So there's a lot of things going on in data. And you will see also here later from JJ and from Wouter that we can exchange a lot of learning between the continents. Assortment optimization, if we know more about products, if we can more predict about behaviors, then we also can make our assortments more fit to that community in Scarborough, to that community in Carlisle. And those are the things which are going to help us, technology, to make better assortments, have a higher rotation, lower shrink, if you will, better forecasting, but also to make a better in-store experience, easier checkout. I think we all want to make sure that that shopping trip is more time in products and ideas and inspiration than waiting in line. And that's why you see a lot of technology coming in and easier checkouts. And you hear from both JJ and from Wouter a lot of opportunities there. But also in stores, what you can do in stores to market your products better with all kinds of digital tooling, digital screens, digital labels, and these kinds of things. And of course, your phone and your mobile will work here a lot. Increasing efficiencies, just quickly, logistics. If you join us this afternoon for the tour to the Stop & Shop store, you see one micro-fulfillment center almost ready. And you also can see a few things how this is going to work for us. And we strongly believe in micro-fulfillment. But also for logistics, if we use our data better, forecasting and replenishment, we feel that in our supply chains, we still have some room to optimization, not only for ready to our shelves, fresher merchandise, but also lowering our working capital with a better connection of demand and supply together with our vendors. Fully mechanized distribution centers. We have already a fully mechanized distribution center in Belgium in Ninove, which is state of the art in the industry, was the most in those days, 2 years ago, the most modern in Europe. But the technology goes very fast. And next year, in week nine in 2019, we opened the next one in Zaandam in Holland for Albert Heijn. Fully mechanized, unbelievable if you see that warehouse, what we can do there in reliability, in productivity, with mechanization and technology. And of course, also in our administration processes with transactional finance, we have now a lot of processes already automated. And we see also for 2019, more than 200 bots working on RPA, robotic process optimization, to find efficiency, but also to be more accurate at the same time. Yeah, and then technology overall, we feel that we are a great partner of choice for our technology partners because we have scale. We are both working in Europe and in the US. We have great local brands, and brands are for us the way to grow our business. We have this customer reach of 70 million a week, and we have a strong geographical presence with leadership positions on the whole East Coast and leadership positions also in Europe. And for those partners you see here on the screen, and those are not only technology partners, it's important to have a very reliable partner on the other side as a retailer you can rely on, who has a certain scale, and that you also that they also see that we bring the commitments to them as well to partner up. And you see a number of big companies here on the screen, and I think you also can expect a few nice positive announcements about good partnerships in technology where both companies commit each other to go into development and research, but also to deliver, in the end, a better shopping experience for our customer. That, of course, is our aim. And if you look at it, for example, as a company like VZ, it's not that much about technology per se. VZ is a company where we have already 40 years of collaboration with in the Dutch market, and they are making salads, meal solutions on our specs. They work exclusively for Albert Heijn, and there's a great collaboration there. But also they get a lot of data from us in forecasting to make sure that those meals and those salads are not only on time in a shelf, but also in the freshest way produced. A lot of data coming back from customers. This I would like to have for my salad. This I would like to have. So also data and customer feedback will bring a lot of innovation. And if you do this in partnership, not only the logistic and the replenishment, but also innovation, you get a very powerful combination. And just to give you an example of what we are now doing in AI and robotics, and those are pretty recent collaborations. On the right-hand side, you see our Peapod Innovation Lab, which is already a couple of years moving on in Quincy, close to Boston, where we work with graduates from Boston universities like MIT and Harvard to see what can you do to bring innovation to our stores, and what can you do with your IT or your data science background to make that customer journey even more attractive. They just get a go. It's difficult to experiment with an aircraft, but it's very possible to experiment with the store. And you just get the store, and you just test and try. That's the beauty of retail. And a lot of those graduates are working with our IT folks in Quincy to make that happen. We also in April closed an agreement with the University of Amsterdam on AI, Artificial Intelligence for Retail Lab. That's why it's called Air Lab. Because there, between science and our operations, is a very interesting combination. How can you make more research on algorithms for your business? And how can scientists prove and test and run these kind of things in our operational environment? We think it's a win-win. It's not always easy for scientists to understand people who sell tomatoes. And so for us, not always easy to understand scientists who have a 4 year PhD period where they would like to prove their case that their algorithm is the winning formula. But it's very positive. We have a lot of learnings already how things can come close. And with the University of Delft, which is sort of, I would say, the Dutch MIT or the European MIT, I would say, very high reputable university, we test with them artificial intelligence together with robotics. And just imagine robotics, it's not only RPA, it's also mechanization, it's also self-checkouts, it's also robots in stores which can make life lighter and also give our people a different type of task with nutrition advice and changing tasks that we also can excite our customers even more. That is technology. Then we go to healthy and sustainable. And those are the targets you see here we already gave to the market, which we will reach in 2020. And we're very much in line with that expectation. On the right-hand side, Dow Jones, we are one of the leading retailers for many years already in the sustainability field. We are proud about it. We work very hard for this. We measure this. We have all KPIs by brand measured. We even publish this in our annual report. And we take this very serious. because customers in the end are not only interested in the avocado you sell, but also how did you source that avocado, how did you have it in the cool chain, and how do you make sure that everybody in the chain can make a living. So Dow Jones Sustainability Index. The targets you see here on the screen, just one thing on the left side, we have Guiding Stars in the US, which is a system run by objective nutritionists, which are scoring product on the good nutritional value, 1, 2, 3 stars. And the same we have with the Nutri-Score in Europe, where we already embarked on the Nutri-Score standard in Belgium, and we will do in more European countries. So a strong set of targets where we're very proud on to deliver them, but we stretched ourselves for 2025. And you see here that we would like to have exactly those nutritional navigation systems in all our markets, from Romania, Indonesia, to Holland, and to all the markets in the US. But we also committed ourselves to a 100% sustainable view on plastics in our own brands, fully recyclable, reusable, or compostable. And the US team gave this target out 2 weeks ago, that all of their own brand products by 2025 will have no artificial ingredients. And that is a lot of work. 28% of your sales, more than 10 billion of euro, 10 billion of dollars, reformulating those products that you have no artificial ingredients. That is a big task, together with all your private label vendors, together with all your people, and making sure that this is also happening, and also that we can document these kind of things, that we can prove these kind of things, and is also tracked and sourced and traced so that our customers also can rely on them. Portfolio and scale. If you look at our portfolio, and a few things are maybe not so new for you, we look at number 1 and 2 positions in our local markets. We look at markets, when we look at new markets or in market or in-depth markets, we look at markets which are attractive by size and by growth. Retail size, what is the total retail cake, and how do those markets grow? Those are for us attractive markets. And we also make sure that scale is not only important for running a business, but also being a better, more reliable, more attractive partner also for technology. So scale is good for buying better. Scale is good for using your supply chain better. Scale is good to be a strong brand, being trusted by your communities. But it's also an important thing to be a part of an ecosystem, to be a partner of this partnering, this together in leading together, and being part of also the total technology frame. Because technology partners look also for strong partners on the retail side, reliable, innovative, certain scale, preferably international, so that if we partner up, then have and in Europe and in the US a footprint. And just look at this and look at the opportunity we have in the US. We always believe the US is a very mature market, and this is the East Coast of the US. So this is the market where we operate. We have here 3 brands, Hannaford, Food Lion, and Stop & Shop. You know them well. And those is the view of the second quarter in 2018. And this view shows you in all the CTAs, all the customer trade areas where those brands operate, how the market shares look. And you see, for example, and this is sometimes not easy to get across from our side to people who comment on our market position, our competitive strength, that the discounters have very different shares in all those markets. In the north, with Stop & Shop, a very small discounter share. In this discounter definition, there's Walmart, there's Aldi, there's Lidl, the dollar stores are not in. Just see how different those shares are in those markets. So that's why we always try to convey. We look at great local brands, we go market by market, price by price, share by share, to make sure that we know how to compete. And then you see the next 3 players in that market, and just look at the big box of other. The big box of other can be 150 retailers. So the market in the US is still very fragmented, very fragmented, which gives us a huge opportunity. Because we believe with our strong financial base, with our great local brands, with the way how we alert and know those markets very well, with the consolidation going in the US, there will be more opportunity for us to build and to grow our business by further consolidation. And we found this is a nice, I don't call it educational, but a nice transparent chart, how the markets are very different. and how big are the opportunities? And look at the shares of our own businesses, eh? Quite big shares, you know. With Hannaford, we're almost as big as the three next players. And look at Food Lion with a decent discounter share in the Carolina and the southern markets, how they are able to compete very well with 24 quarters of comparable positive sales. And those are the things which make us, which gives us the right to grow the business. Strong and predictable cash flows, I think you have seen them before. A strong merger integration, delivering on those results, giving a strong foundation, and not only financially, but also with our people and our cultures and our structures of the platforms. Platform for growth with retail business services helping all our the brands in the US, people digital labs on e-commerce and digital for all our US shares, all our US brands, and a strong EU organization, a European organization, where we are going to combine scale to make sure that the brands can have their mandate and they can make the difference in their local markets on price and category and marketing. And best practice sharing. You hear a lot of experience today about technology and e-commerce and digital in the European space and in the US space. And what is more beautiful, how rich can you be just to make sure that these kind of learnings are exchanged? There is no US retailer who can share these kind of learnings. There's also no European retailer in digital and e-commerce who can do this. We are pretty uniquely positioned. And a strong winning omnichannel proposition. It's in our DNA for a long time already, with Peapod and with our Dutch business, that we understand what e-commerce is and what digital is. Last week, we announced that the former leader of the present leader and the former leader of our online business in the Dutch market is going to be the president of the Peapod brand. Nice example of bringing learnings across the ocean and making sure that Selma brings all her knowledge and expertise to the US. And I think I'm very sure that we're going to benefit from this a lot. So consolidator of choice is our position. We feel we have the right to play. We know where to play. We have the structure and the financial base. And this is also one of the reasons why we feel that we can gain market share and drive growth. Yeah, and then also the wheel. Huh? The wheel is the wheel of how are you going to finance these kind of things. So you see, if you look at the SAFE toolbox, we're going to launch a plan for 1.8 billion euro in the coming 3 years of savings, SAFE for our customer. And Jeff will say a few things more on this. Those savings will be the fuel to drive our store sales and our omnichannel sales. So this comparable sales and the high single digit, we're going to, for a big part, fund this ourselves. And the capital funding in those key channels will bring us market share gains. And you see that also talking about the investments, we are going to invest 2 billion a year, which is roughly 3% over sales, which makes us investing more than most of our peers. Save to invest, find the funding, invest in your sales. Sales will give you the growth and will also in the end be that spinning wheel. What you know from us for the last couple of years when we talked about this way, how we look at bringing our business, the prudent way how to finance ourselves. And then the best talent. We have a great team with a lot of knowledge about our businesses, but also a lot of knowledge about retail. And I think you have met or have seen or have experienced all the contacts with all my colleagues. And in a good 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks' time, we also will announce the arrival, and we are going to embrace the new arrival of our CDO officer, Chief Digital Officer. That person will be a part of our team, and in 2.5 weeks, we're going to announce this as well with the start of the 1st of January, which makes this team even more complete, and that we also have technology even deeper into our team, and that we also can drive that dimension in a very dedicated way. 370,000 people. You only bring those people together when they feel comfortable in your organization, when they can be themselves and can develop their full potential to contribute. That's why our values are so important. That's why we talk about those values. That's why we also talk with people about those values when people are not completely living the values, because this is a very important thing to drive a company. This is energizing a company, making a company respectful and with a high level of integrity. And that's why we also have very good scores in our engagement scores of our associate engagement surveys. 79% is a high score with an 83 participation, which is also high. And also this year, we had, again, a higher engagement score than the years before. An inclusive department, an inclusive company with 53% female participation and 31% on the directors and up on females. That is not good enough. It's higher than the industry average, but we have a higher ambition here. And it's not only about gender diversity, it's also about orientation, it's also about ethnicity, and we work now very hard with all the teams to see how we can get our numbers right. We would like to be a proper reflection of society, make better decisions, and in the end, be also a healthier business where everybody in our company feels comfortable and he or she can be themselves. Equality score, that is for the US brands, 100 score, which is a great score, which has been very, where we have been very cruising on very high numbers. 100 is the maximum score. And this gives a little bit the feel how the LGBT community is feeling at ease in our company, that they feel respected and they can bring their full potential. I'm very proud to have presented you a number of the cornerstones of our Leading Together strategy. And this Leading Together strategy we only can do together with our 370,000 people. But we also can only do this successfully when we also get the support of our stakeholders, and that we have a strategy here which is resonating with our stakeholders in many different areas. It's shareholders, it's associates, it's communities, and so on. And that's why we are very proud as a team to have presented this to you today. And it's up to us to show you how are we going to deliver on this, and that we're going to deliver on this as reliable as we delivered the last 2 years. Having said this, I would like to close this introduction part. I would like to transfer to Wouter. And Wouter is going to share with you more about Europe, digital and e-commerce. What are the innovating parts there? What can we learn? What are the next plans? And what is transferable? Thank you very much.